Do 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 do. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Bedtime Stories with Thompson. Today we're starting a new book by Johann Viss. The Swiss Family Robinson. Johann Rudolf Viss was born in Bern, Switzerland on March 13, 1781. He was the son of a pastor who entertained young Johann and his brothers at bedtime with adventure tales of a shipwrecked preacher and his family. Johann had a fine education at several German universities, and in 1806 he became a professor at the University of Bern and also its head librarian. But Professor Viss never lost his love of literature. This led to his collecting and editing Swiss folk stories and to his writing of the Swiss national anthem. But it wasn't until 1813 that Johann Viss gained worldwide fame when he wrote, edited, and published his father's bedtime stories under the title of The Shipwrecked Preacher and His Family, an instructional book for children and their friends in city or country. This was later to be shortened to the now famous Swiss Family Robinson. Immediately after its publication, The Swiss Family Robinson was translated into many languages, including English. Over the years, it has become one of the most popular books for generations of European and American children, a popularity which Viss lived to see and enjoy until his death in 1830. Chapter 1. Shipwrecked.
Bum, bam, bum, bum, bum.
Many years ago, my family left Switzerland and boarded a ship bound for the sparkling blue waters of the Pacific Ocean. Our destination was an island near New Guinea, where we were to establish a colony. Along the way, we ran into a violent storm. For 6 days, the wind howled and tore at the sails, while the waves pounded against our little wooden ship, tossing it high in the air. On the 7th day, the masts ripped apart and fell into the sea. Several leaks appeared, and the ship began to fill with water. Realizing that the storm had driven us far off course, the frightened sailors fell to their knees in prayer. "You mustn't be afraid," I said to my 4 sons, Fritz, 15, Jack, 13, Ernest, 11, and Francis, 8, who clung to me trembling. "God will save us, for nothing is impossible to Him." My wife, Elizabeth, wiped away her tears and reassured our sons that we would survive this crisis. I admired her courage, but my heart was heavy as I led my family in prayer. "Land ahoy, land ahoy," cried a sailor. At that same moment, the ship crashed into a large rock, sending everyone on board reeling in all directions. Then we heard a loud crack, as if the whole ship was falling apart. Suddenly, the sea came rushing in. "All is lost," shouted the captain in his booming voice. "Into the boats, men." As the terrified sailors rushed by us, Elizabeth and the children looked at me in wide-eyed amazement. "Stay calm," I said. "There is no reason to panic. First of all, the water hasn't reached us yet. And secondly, we are near land. Wait here in the hold while I go see what is the best thing to do." On deck, one wave after another knocked me down. When I finally struggled to my feet, I was greeted by a scene of utter disaster. The ship was completely shattered, and there was a large gaping hole in one side where the water was rushing in. The crew had just cut loose the ropes of the boats and were pushing off into the churning sea. "Come back," I shouted, but the angry ocean drowned out my cries. Soon the boats disappeared from sight. My only consolation was that since the ship's stern was lodged between two rocks, we were safe for the time being. Peering through the rain, I could make out the dim outline of land in the distance. "With luck and the change of tide, we should be able to reach shore sometime tomorrow," I told my solemn sons when I went below. "Come on, let's eat some dinner," Elizabeth added bravely, sensing my anxiety. "We have a long night ahead of us." Fritz, my eldest son, who realized the danger we were in, sat up with us long after his brothers fell asleep. "I've been thinking," he said. "If only we had some life jackets, we could swim to shore." "Good idea, Fritz," I answered. "Let's see what we can find to make them with." In the kitchen, we uncovered some small wooden butter tubs. We tied these together 2 by 2 using towels. When we were finished, we had made 6 life jackets. Delighted with his accomplishment, Fritz curled up near his brothers and fell into a sound sleep. Elizabeth and I, fearing that each strange sound might spell disaster, kept a prayerful watch throughout the long night. The first rays of morning light awakened the boys, and they rushed up on deck to see a bright sun shining over the Pacific. As we saw that the sea was calm at last, our spirits began to soar. "Let's put on our new life jackets and swim to shore," Fritz cried. Maybe you can swim, Fritz, Jack answered cautiously, still shaken by the desertion of the crew. But the rest of us can't. We'd soon be drowned. Wouldn't it be better to make a float of rafts and get to land that way? Good thinking, Jack, I said, slapping him on the back. Get busy, everyone. See what you can find. When Jack opened the doors of the captain's quarters, his two huge dogs, Turk and Flora, came leaping out. They licked Jack's face and hands hungrily. Jack jumped upon the back of one and, holding tightly to his ears, rode him up on deck. Better be careful, I warned. A hungry dog can be dangerous. You'll be glad enough to have these dogs when we get to land, Jack replied. They'll be great help hunting and shooting. Look what I found, called a voice from below. Rushing down, we saw four empty casks floating about in the water. We immediately fished them out and sawed them in half, making eight tubs, each big enough to hold one person. I then salvaged several long planks from the hold and placed the eight tubs upon one, nailing each tub securely to the plank. Then the boys and I nailed two planks on each side of the tubs, creating a narrow but sturdy boat. After cutting other planks into paddles, we lowered the boat in the water. We were ready to set sail. "Wait," cried my wife, scurrying up from another section of the hold. "You won't believe what I've discovered. A cow, a mule, two goats, six sheep, and a pig." She caught her breath, then went on. "Plus hens, roosters, pigeons, geese, and ducks." "What a wonderful find," I exclaimed. "But we can only take the roosters and hens with us this trip." I then tucked them in the tub that already held the gunpowder, threw the pigeons up in the air, and put the other fowl in the water. The provisions filled another tub, leaving each member of the family with his own individual tub to ride in. "I shall never muster enough courage to get into one of these," said Elizabeth nervously. "Come now, dear wife, I think your tub is a better sailing ship than the wreck we're leaving behind." I took her by the arm and gently guided her into the little round vessel. "We're off," I yelled as we pushed away from our wreck ship. Turk and Flora swam after us, along with all the cackling geese and ducks. The sea was calm and the sky was bright blue with not a cloud in sight. Paddling along, we passed chests and casks from the shipwreck and managed to seize two of them and pull them aboard. As we approached land, we saw that the coastline was rocky and barren on one side and green and lush on the other. Suddenly, we hit a swift current which swept us toward the rocky coast and into a little opening between the rocks. That opening was the mouth of a small creek. Standing on the banks of the creek as it widened into a river, calmly watching our arrival, was a family of penguins, while pink flamingos soared over our heads, flapping their wings to wish us a warm welcome. And that's all we have time for tonight. We'll see it again for part two of A Swiss Family Robinson. Good night.
Good night.